Joining us now, he's got his PGA Tour card back for 2016-2017. Cameron Percy joins us. Welcome in, Cameron.
Good morning, guys.
How goes it, man? I mean, you know, a little hurricane took away the tour championship and the last event of the final series on the web.com tour. So you didn't have to go out there and play. Were you disappointed that you didn't get to go out and grind it out for four rounds?
I would have taken it on Tuesday, but then I started playing really, I played really nicely, and I was feeling good about my game. So in the end, I was actually a bit disappointed not to play because I quite like the course. And 24, I'm not going to get many starts to start with. I might get two starts before Christmas. So I would have liked to improve my position, but I'll take a PGA Tour card any day, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's always kind of interesting to see how it works out. I mean, you were 168 in the FedEx Cup, so you had a little bit of status there, I believe. And then, obviously, being 24th on the list, I think that puts you, 48th on the list of the 50? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you're saying two starts, and obviously, if you do well in a start, you can get a start the next week as well, right?
Yeah, you can top 10, but I think there's six events before we go to Hawaii next year, and that's the first re-rank, I think. So I'll probably only get two events. I'm not in next week. And I will get in Jackson, then I'm not in Vegas, and I'm not in Mexico. So I'll get Jackson and Sea Island. So I'll just have to play well in those two events and then re-rank for the start of the next year.
Yeah, when we look at the barrier of entry, I mean, the barrier to entry into the PGA Tour, you know, part of it, you have to qualify and you have to get your card, which you've now done more than once in your career, but not enough guys are getting cycled out. There are too many exemptions and medicals and everything else that they don't open up any room for guys to come in. How do you look at this as somebody who has sort of vacillated back and forth between both tours? I mean, do they need to change something at the top and cycle some of those older guys out?
I think people don't realize how hard it is to get on the PGA Tour. It's so hard. And then some events, they might have, 8 or 9% of the field is made up of people that aren't exempt. So like last year I played with a guy who won the PGA of America or something, and he was guaranteed six starts. And I had a PGA Tour card and only got 12 starts. So, and then they got foreigner exempt lists where guys who aren't members from another country just get an exemption. They don't live in the country, do anything like that. They just get an exemption. So I think you can have a few sponsors invites, which is just, you need them because the sponsors need to be able to pick who they want. But when you've got 10%, almost 10% of your field made up of people that haven't actually earned their PGA Tour card, it gets a bit hard.
All right, so how do you fix it and why won't they do it? Come on.
That's very difficult.
I'm putting you in charge.
We have the thing called the pack where there's a few guys on that make suggestions, but they might make the suggestions, but really it basically just comes down to whatever Tim wants to do, I think. So it's really hard to get things changed. And unless those guys are actually in those categories, because the guys that are making these decisions are fully exempt and have never been in a position where they need to get a start in events. So if it doesn't concern you, you don't really care that much, I don't think.
All right, let's assume that the barriers are gone, but there's obviously also a talent barrier and consistency of play. What is it that you see that separates the guys who can go up from the web.com tour, even straight out of college, and manage to stay up on the PGA Tour from the guys who go back and forth to the guys who just sort of make a living on the web.com tour? What's the difference in level of play?
There is a very, very fine line. It comes down to a shot or two, a tournament, is that sort of thing. I know just going through my stats, if I can just improve like a shot here and a shot there, a tournament or a round, that's the difference between me and being 168th and 71st sort of thing on the money list and having a great year. So it really is a crazy fine line between really good and pretty good.
Yeah, again, we're speaking with Cameron Percy, PGA Tour card for next year, bouncing back and forth between the web.com and the PGA Tour. You know, it's always funny. We talk to guys. We talked to Rob Oppenheim last year. He made it in by $100. He's missing by like $400 this year. You're in by like $600. Yeah. We always go, we talk to guys and we say, you missed it. Can you go back and find a shot that may have cost you? You're kind of on the other side of that. You made it in by $600. Can you go back and look at the previous couple of events and go, man, that's the shot that got me in?
Yeah, for sure. I know the very first event I played really well, but I had five three-putts from 25 feet. And I know that my 71st hole, I hit a 3-iron on one of the past three to about 10 feet, and it lipped out. And we finished around, and my caddy goes, "Oh, I reckon if that one on 17 went in, you'd get your card sort of thing." And you're like, "Oh, yeah, well, we've got three events to go." But then at Boise, I made the cut on the number, and then I was just playing out. I couldn't get anything in, going nowhere. And I could have easily just given up on the weekend and come last. But instead, I ground out. I tried on every single shot to come 65th or something. And that might have been the difference, you know, to getting my card. So I was pretty proud of myself. I could have easily just given up. I was playing, you know, wasn't going anywhere. Could have just packed it in. But I tried on every single shot when I was coming 65th. So I was pretty happy with that. And in the end, I think that made the difference.
Well, and you're obviously very well aware of that fine line. And so, you know, one or two shots here, one or two shots there could make the difference. How do you address that in practice? I mean, is there something that you can work on in your game, or do you just need to ignore it and try to play more consistently well? I mean, that could be maddening.
Yeah, I think I try and do a lot of practice and I imagine I'm playing an event. Like, I'll do a lot of practice on the range, hitting drivers between two, like out of bounds is right and out of bounds is left, and all that kind of stuff. I've got to fade this one into the fairway. I've got to draw this one into the fairway. So I do a lot of that kind of stuff, and same with my irons and stuff. And same, my putting hasn't been great, but I do a lot of, when I do putt well, I find I do a lot of pressure, like I've got to make 20 in a row. I can't leave this drill till I get 3 in a row sort of thing. And you learn, and then all of a sudden when you get out of the course, it doesn't feel that much different to the practice.
So as a guy that's had a chance to play, you know, both tours recently, and what is the difference between playing on the PGA Tour and playing on the Web.com Tour? I mean, from a fan's perspective, it seems like a lot of times when you go out on the Web.com Tour, you shoot 66, you're kind of maintaining position. You got to shoot like 63 to really make a move. On the PGA Tour, it seems like if you shoot 66, more often than not, you're making a run up the leaderboard. Is that kind of the case? And do you have to be much more aggressive on the web?
Absolutely. It's just on the web tour, I think this is right. I'm not sure, but the courses are set up by just the local superintendent. Whereas on the PGA Tour, they're set up by, they actually have people go around and help the superintendent. Oh, this is what we want the course to be like. So, and the golf ball goes so far now that you know, the courses that we play on the web just aren't long enough. So you've got a lot of wedges, and the greens are always in fantastic condition, so that scoring's pretty low. But you're right. On the web tour, there's so much pressure just to make the cut. Like, I think I was leading the first web final event, and maybe six shots behind and missed the cut. So it's such a fine line. Whereas the PGA Tour, you know, if you shoot one on the par, you're going to make the cut at 90% of the event. So the par threes, I think, are hard on the PGA Tour, and it's just set up a little bit harder, to be honest.
You know, as a top golfer, how big a difference is it for you to go to a course for a second or third time to play competitively as opposed to a first time? How different is it having had the experience of playing on that track before?
Oh, it's huge. You just know certain holes. Look, I hit driver here last time, and I don't need to just hit a 3-wood here. And I write in my yardage books, if I have a certain putt, what it does. So when you go back, you might get the same pin and have the same putt, and you've written down this is 2 balls left to right. So and you know it's going to go 2 balls left to right. So I learned that off Jim Furyk. You always see him in his yardage book. He's always writing down where putts go and stuff like that. So when he gets back to the next year, he's like, "Oh, I've had this putt before. This is, you know, this is straight, but it looks like it's going to break or something." So just little things like that can make a difference.
All right. So when you break down your game from 2016, we'll actually call it the 2015-16 season, and if we extrapolate, you know, your statistics from this past season, and we look at you going into the next season, what's the thing that is going to allow you to retain your card? So if you improve, what part of your game that's going to push you to the next level?
I just have to improve my putting. I just don't putt well enough. So, like, I know, I mean, in Canada and Reno, I led the field tee to green by miles and that kind of stuff, but my putting was so bad, I didn't win. So it's all putting with me. I normally hit the ball pretty straight off the tee, and I'm not long anymore, but I'm decent length, and I'm always hit enough greens in regulation and that, but my putting's just not up to standard to win at the moment. So that's all it is.
Well, and what specifically do you work on when you sit there and work on putting? And I'm sure you're grinding over it every day out on the greens, you know, hours and hours of putting. I mean, what is it about putting that just holds a lot of people back, it seems like?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm 42 now, so I don't know. My eyes might have gone on me. Who knows? But it's funny. When I've putted well, I do the same drills, and when I don't putt well, I'm doing the same drills. I really can't. It's driving me nuts, to be honest with you, because putting's held me back for probably 4 or 5 years. So, and also too, you're on the PGA Tour. You're putting. You're playing against the very best. So, you know, I might be pretty good, but. You know, you're playing against the very best in the world, and some guys are just freaks at it. So that's the area I need to improve. So,
well, we ask all of our tour players if they had just an hour to work on the range, which is about what I think the amateur golfer would bother spending their time. How do you divide that 1 hour? If you have an opportunity to have a range, you have a chipping area, and you have a putting green, how do you divide an hour's worth of practice time?
I do 20 minutes putting, probably 10 minutes chipping and bunkers and stuff like that, and then hit balls for 20 minutes. The first few minutes, you just put some alignment sticks down, check your setup's all right, and then take them away and just hit some shots, and then give yourself 5 minutes to walk to the tee. So that's what I do. 15, 20 minutes of putting and then chipping and then hitting. That'd be the best way about it.
And when you're on the range, do you go through the entire bag? I mean, do you start on one end and go all the way up to the driver? Do you go the other direction? Are you one of those people who just take a 7-iron out and hit every possible shot with the 7-iron? How do you go through your bag?
Well, every day now, I put down some alignment sticks with a mirror so I can check my shoulders and all that sort of stuff. I start with, I've got a few wedge shots I hit, and then just go wedges, then I go every odd number, 9, 7, 5, 3, and then a few 3-woods and a few drives, and try and finish with the first shot I'm going to hit on the first hole, basically.
Cameron, so if you're not going to get in some of these early events, what does your schedule look like? What do you try and do on those off weeks? Are you just out there practicing, maybe playing some golf? Kind of give us a feel for when you don't get into an event during a week, what's your schedule look like?
Normally, I've got a young family. I've got 3 young boys. So normally when I get home, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the write-off, trying to organize them and get them around to sports and school and stuff like that, and just stuff around the house you need to do. And then I normally do a lot of technique work to start with, and then by Saturday, Sunday before I leave, and no technique work and just hitting shots between targets and stuff like that.
I mean, how do you decide? I was just going to say, how do you decide which tournaments to try to go for? Are there tournaments that you know a week out are going to have a little bit of more of an opening or not? Or I mean, how do you just go after every one?
With my category, I'll play everything I can. Mm-hmm. I know last year I was first reserve at like 4 events, and I was second reserve at like 3 events. So there's always that, oh, will I get in, won't I get in, and you've got to organise your caddy and flights and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, basically I've never been exempt where I can say, all right, I'm going to play these events. I don't like that event. I just got to play everything I can. So it makes it a bit harder.
Well, Cameron, man, we appreciate you hopping on with us this morning. Good luck to you in this upcoming season. The good news is we've had a lot of success. We've had guys on the show before, and they've had some good success in their tournaments. I mean, I'm going to harken back to Russell Henley. You know, he graduated from the Web.com Tour, and he won his first event out after he was on the show. So you got good mojo coming your way.
Well, you also saved me. My wife had me out the back in this pouring rain, picking up furniture, getting it inside. So you saved me a little trouble there. So.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.